God is good. I have had times in my life where I have felt not capable of doing that which I felt the Lord calling me to. Not able, not capable, not equipped, not ready, not good enough, not smart enough, not you fill in the blank, and pretty much I have felt that way in my life. And I guess I would like to think, so that I'm not the only one, I would like to think that many of us face feelings like that in our lives sometimes. Like there just are things happening in our lives and we're not ready for that which we feel God calling us to, for that work that He has for us. We're going to call that this morning, just for the sake of putting a word with it, we're going to call it ministry. We have different views and different thinking of what ministry is. Ministry is basically when we are involved in God's work, then we are involved in ministry. And we do that in our jobs, and we do that in our relationships with our family, and we do that in our lives and the different things that we do. We'll call that ministry today, but it's just when God puts us in a place and in a situation where we're able to be doing the things that He's called us to within our lives. We'll call that ministry today. And I think there are times when we feel as if we're not ready to do that thing that He calls us to. We're not ready, or we're not prepared, or whatever. We feel as if we're not able to do those things. Let's look at the Word, and we're going to look at actually a few different examples of individuals who either they felt they weren't ready, or we would look at them and say, well, maybe they're not ready for one situation or for one reason or another. Let's start back in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39 is a portion of the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph has already been sold as a slave by his brothers. His brothers sold him into slavery. He's already been promoted within Potiphar's house in Egypt. He's already been promoted to a position of high esteem within Potiphar's house. And at this point, he has already been accused falsely by Potiphar's wife of doing some inappropriate things with her. And so right now he is in jail, and that's where we pick it up in Genesis chapter 39, verse 19. It says, "When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me,' he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined." So Joseph's now in prison, and we might look at that and say, circumstances affect Joseph to the point where he's not able to do that which God called him to. He's in a place where it just doesn't seem like he'd be able to do a lot at that point. It goes on to say, "But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did." Now here's Joseph in prison and in a position, in a situation, where we might look at that and say, I'm in a place, my circumstances are such that I'm not able to do the work that the Lord has called me to. That's not the viewpoint that Joseph had. But I think under certain circumstances, we feel as if our situation doesn't allow us to do the thing that we feel that God called us to. It's because of the things that are happening in my life. The things happening in my life are too much of a struggle or a difficulty. The things that are happening in my life are too inconvenient. I need to deal with those instead of dealing with God's work. Whatever we put with it, I think many times our circumstances are one in which we feel, because of the place that I'm in, I'm not able to do that which God has called me to. I have felt that way in the past. Let's go to Exodus, very next book after Genesis. Exodus chapter 4. Moses. Pick up right near the beginning of the account of Moses. He's already grown up in Egypt, and he's already left Egypt, and now he's spent 20 years as a herder. And here we pick up in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. We know who Moses is, right? Moses led the Exodus and did all these awesome, awesome things that God had done through him. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent," which it's funny that he uses that word in my opinion, because using the word eloquent in and of itself, I think, makes you somewhat eloquent. But that's neither here nor there. "I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Please send someone else to do it." Moses is in a situation where he feels, he has a sense of deficiency. He feels as if he's not good enough. "God, there is something wrong with me. I'm not able to do it." He says it's because he doesn't speak well. "God, I've never been eloquent. I'm slow of speech and of tongue. I don't talk very well, God. I can't do it. Please send somebody else." And thinking of that, I feel a real connection with Moses. You know, how many times have I thought, I'm not the right guy for this job. I'm not the right one for this God that you've called me to. I'm not smart enough. I am not good enough. I'm not able to do this. Think of how many times that's run through my mind and through my head. How many times I've felt that same sense of deficiency, sense of not being good enough at a particular thing to really do the things that God has called me to. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Samuel King's Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Second Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. Chronicles is probably a book you read just about every day, right? You find yourself spending a lot of time in the Word going through Chronicles, reading through that. Second Chronicles chapter 34, starting in verse 1, it talks about Josiah, who became king. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. So Josiah is 8 years old, and he becomes king. And when he's 16, he begins to recognize the importance of following the ways of the Lord. And when he's 20, he begins making a major revolution in the way things are done and the way that the nation as a whole operates in the way that they deal with God. He brought about a major reformation. 8 years old is when he became king. 8 years. Sometimes we even use things like our age to make us think that we aren't ready to do that which God has called us to. Either an age that's too young, we feel, well, I'm not, you know, I became involved in full-time ministry when I was 22. I didn't know a lick when I was 22. I realize now. At the time, I was even more in realization, I don't know anything. Is this right? Are we sure about this? I guess maybe I was 23. Melinda would have corrected me right away. I guess I was 23. Either way, not a whole lot changes from 22 to 23. How many times do we use age to feel as if we're too old to do that which God has called us to? Thinking of Josiah and the young side, what about the other side? We feel as if maybe that's a task better suited for those who are younger. That we really feel God is calling us to a certain thing, but I can't hardly connect with teenagers. You ever talk with teenagers? They are awesome. They are awesome. And I can spend about 3 minutes with somebody who's 16 and realize it's been a long time since I was 16. They're awesome. Teenagers are great. I think age, though, is one of those things that sometimes we feel as if our age or our circumstances in life, maybe it's not age, maybe it's if we're married or not, maybe it's if we have kids or not, different circumstances or situations in life where we feel as if those things would hinder us or make us feel unable to do the ministry that God has called us to. Let's go to the New Testament now. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we'll start right in verse 1. This picks up right near the end of the account of the stoning of Stephen. It says in chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison." And then look at chapter 9, verse 1. "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue." Here's Saul, this man who is against everything that has anything to do with Christ. Not very far into chapter 9, then, we find Saul's conversion and his renaming to Paul. This man who went on to greatly spread the message of Jesus Christ, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, who had a great impact in the early church. A man whose past was full of murder, threats against Jesus Christ. I think there are times that I feel unable to do God's work because of sin of my own past, maybe even sin that continues in my life. To feel that and to see that and to recognize in my own mind, not the truth, but recognize in my own mind, I'm not good enough to do that which God has called me to. Not because I'm unable, but because of the sin that I have dealt with in the past. How many times do we use that or think that in our own minds, and so do not follow that leading that God puts on our hearts? All these people, Joseph and Josiah and Moses and Paul, went on to be people who followed in the ways of the Lord and who fulfilled the ministry that God had called them to, the purposes that He had for them. Sometimes it was small things, sometimes it was big things, but they followed the ministry that God had called them to. They didn't use those things where they maybe short-term used those things as excuses. They ended up putting them aside and following that which God had called them to. And they were actively involved in ministry in their lives. The encouragement for us today is to be able to look at that and learn from that and recognize, been there, yep, been there, yep, been there. To be able to recognize that and to also understand that God doesn't call us to ministry because we are perfect for the job. He calls us to ministry and then makes us perfect for the job. If it were up to me, if it were based on my doing, God wouldn't have anything for me to do. If it were based on how good I was or what age I was or what circumstances I'm in or how good I am at this or how smart I am or how good-looking or charming, God wouldn't have a lick for me to do. But God doesn't call us because we are perfect for the job. He calls us and then makes us perfect for the job. Isn't that right? You guys with me? Am I the only one that's ever felt like Moses? Am I the only one that's ever been in a situation where I've thought, you know, God, I don't have time for this right now. I've got too much else on my plate to follow that direction that I feel you prompting me to. I hope I'm not the only one, but just for my own sense of feeling good at all about myself. You see, God equips us and prepares us for that work that He calls us to. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Hear that? It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose, according to that thing that He has called you to. It's God who works in us to be able to do those things. Going on in verse 14, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." You see, it's God who works through us. It's God who works in us to bring about the wholeness, to bring about and for us to do the things that He has called us to do. And that is such a relief. That is such a relief. Because I can recognize and understand that I don't first have to become good enough and then God's going to use me. But rather, God is going to call me to a ministry, and as I am obedient to His following and leadership, He's going to help me to be ready to do that which He called me to. God has called me to things in the past, and it's like, I don't have a clue what You want me to do about that. Good. Good. You see, when I don't know anything that God has called me toward, He is able to work all the more. We're going to see that in a verse that we look at a little bit later. As I don't know that which God has called me to, I am going to be much more reliant on Him instead of on myself. Isn't that right? I'm going to be much more reliant on Him rather than myself. That's the truth. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Tom read these verses this morning during abundant sharing. Praise the Lord for that. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." So may God equip you, verse 21, "equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The writer of Hebrews says, may this happen. In other words, it is good, it is the desire for this to happen. This would be the good thing if this happened. That God would equip you. That He would equip you with everything good for doing His will. In other words, as He calls you to a ministry, as He calls you to His will, that thing that He has for you your life, as He calls you to that, may He equip you for that. May you be prepared and ready to do that. Praise the Lord that God indeed does that, that indeed He equips us for those things. Now, I ought to have mentioned this earlier. Let's understand that ministry is not always a situation where we then will become full-time, what now we call ministers or pastors or reverends or maybe full-time missionaries or this kind of a thing, where certainly God does indeed call people, even though they've been in a career for a number of years, there are times when the Lord does call them into a full-time ministry. God also calls us regularly to be ministers within our realm of influence in our lives, at the place that I work and at the place that I live and with the family that I'm related to. Most of you are related to different family than I'm related to. God has put you in that place that you are able to minister to them as I'm not able to and as others aren't able to, but you are. The same with your job. You're in your job. That's your mission field. Isn't that right? Your job is your mission field. Your house is in a neighborhood. That's your mission field. That's the place where God has called you to. He hasn't called me to that place. He hasn't called others to that place. That's the place where God has called you. He has a ministry for you in that, to do His will, whatever that will is. Maybe it's being the local person that makes cookies. I don't know. You know, whatever it is, God has put you in that place, and that which He has called you to in that place, that is your ministry. And so as God calls you to that ministry, as God puts on your heart that which you ought to be doing in your life because He wants you to be joining Him in His work, as He calls you to do those things, He also equips you. He equips you to be able to do His will. And that is a relief. That is a blessing to be in a situation where not only does God call us to be involved in His work, but He also equips us to be able to do His work. Because sometimes beginning to do His work is really, really scary. Sometimes it is really, really scary because we don't know what the future holds and we don't know what's going to happen and we don't know if we're good enough and we don't think that we are and we don't think that our circumstances do it and all these other things that come into our minds. But God equips us to do His work and His will. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As we consider sin in our lives and especially thinking of sins that we've dealt with in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. This portion of Scripture talks about sin that has been a part of our lives in the past. And it doesn't sound like it at first, and I don't think we really want it to be talking to us, but the truth is, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, if that was the end of that portion of Scripture, we'd look at that and say, well, boy, God sure sets the line, and if you fall into any of this, then, you know, it's going to be tough for you. And unfortunately, that's where many people take it. They pull those verses and they say, that's what that means. And so you can't, that plays no part in your life or in your mind or in your past or anything because you won't inherit the kingdom of God. But that's not the end of the book of 1 Corinthians. It's not even the end of the chapter. It goes on, the very next verse, verse 11. "And that is what some of you were." Now, who's Paul talking to? Is he talking to just a convention of people come from all faith backgrounds and all places of life? No, that's not who he's writing to. He is writing to the church. Okay? He's writing to the church. And so he is writing to people who are believers in Jesus Christ. And he says, all those things which those who practice those things won't inherit the kingdom of God, that's what some of you were. That's the life that you lived. That's the sin that you were involved in. That's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, there's wholeness, there's forgiveness, there's purity, there's justification in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so Paul writes that. He says, if you pray, and by all means, we shouldn't look at that and say, well, I can practice those because there's time for me to be able to seek forgiveness in the future. No, those are things that should not have a part of our lives, just like every sin that we find ourselves in. Those are things that should not have a part of our lives. But the reality is, we have sin in our lives. And we shouldn't have a mindset where that sin causes us to believe, because of that thing that I did, because of that lifestyle that I had, because of the way that I used to live, I'm not able to do that which God has called me to do because I did something that was so bad. And of course, we always think that our sins are worse than any other sins that anybody's ever committed because we know our sins and not everybody knows our hearts and the things that were behind it. It's all disgusting and gross. That's the truth of it. All of our sin of the past is disgusting and gross. And in Jesus Christ, fortunately, all of it is removed and pure and cleaned. Amen? You guys aren't nearly as excited about that as maybe I would think that you would be, because I'm really excited about that truth. And so those things that I did when I was 17, and those things that I did last week, and those, you know, all that stuff, that sin that we feel I'm not good enough because of what I did. That is what some of you were. But you have been washed. You have been cleansed. You have been purified. That is not a reason for us to not be involved in ministry. because our sins of the past. If we're involved in sin now, that certainly ought to be something that we cease doing or cease not doing if it's a sin of omission. We ought to be about the Lord's work. But it's not that sin that is going to keep us from being called by God and equipped to be able to do His service, because we're able to have wholeness and freedom from it in Jesus' name. Amen? We can't allow that to be an excuse. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. That sounds familiar to what we just looked at in chapter 6, doesn't it? Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Paul here lays it out and he says, you guys, not many of you were very wise. Not many of you were very noble. But it sounds like a little bit almost insulting at first, doesn't it? Not many of you were very good by human standards. But that's so that you're in your weakness, in that sense of I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, that I think we deal with in our lives, especially when God calls us to ministry. God, I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to be able to do that, God. In our weakness, then, God is able to work wonderfully and mightily to bring about that which He has called us to. He will equip us to do the things that He has called us to. He has equipped us and gives us the ability that even though we aren't by man's standards the most intelligent, and we aren't by man's standards the most influential, and we aren't by man's standards the best that there is at all things, even though we're not, and frankly because we're not, God is able to work and be glorified through that. So that no one can say, it's because of my own good that this thing was accomplished. But everyone can boast only in the Lord and say, because of God and His work through Jesus Christ in me, this was able to be accomplished. Not by my hand, because I'm not good enough to have done that. Only by God. So that stuff that we face in our lives and those reasons that we feel that we're not good enough for ministry, the truth of the matter is God is able to bring about wholeness to the things that He calls. And so if He calls us to a ministry, if he has put on your heart to follow through in one work or another, in one way or another, in impacting one life or another, and I'm not even going to list how that might look or what it might sound like, because there are so many ways that God calls us into ministry. If God has called you into that ministry, then put aside all of those false feelings of not being good enough or smart enough, or your sin is too bad, or you're just not in the right place, or your circumstances are too difficult. Put that aside and have faith that God is going to equip you for the work that He has called you to. And follow Him. Follow through with that which He called you to. Instead of attempting to come up with all the excuses, and you haven't come up with any new excuses. You haven't come up with any new excuses. If God has called you to a work, if He has called you to a ministry, if He's called you to speak or to say or to do, then speak or say or do. Because He has equipped you with the ability to be able to follow Him in all things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together this morning. Great God, I am nothing. May any boasting be boasting in the Lord. God, I thank you. I thank you for equipping us for that which you've called us to do. God, that you don't leave us high and dry when you call us to a situation or when you call us to a ministry. But you equip us and you prepare us and you make us ready to, and you're strong enough and smart enough to be able to fulfill that which you call us to. God, help me to follow you in all things, in all ways. God, we give you thanks today. We thank you for your wholeness. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your wisdom, which is not like man's wisdom. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen.